Every year on the fourth Sunday of Easter, the church gives us a gospel reading from the 10th chapter of St. John's Gospel, which has our Lord referring to himself as the Good Shepherd. And since that happens every year, this Sunday has acquired the nickname Good Shepherd Sunday. We would do well this year to take a moment and juxtapose and even reconcile the gospel we just heard with the incredible devastating news we've been hearing about this past week. First, a couple of young men choose to detonate bombs at the finish line of the Boston Marathon, killing three people and injuring over 140 others. One of those young men, of course, was killed in a shootout on Thursday night, and the other was detained late Friday night. We don't know their motives quite yet, and we may never, but from our perspective right now, it just sounds like senseless killing. Then there was the fertilizer plant explosion down near Waco, Texas, killing 12 and injuring dozens of others. This was an accidental explosion, but of course the tragedy still evokes sadness within us. And as we speak, central Illinois is experiencing extreme floods, doing damage to homes and property. Then in this morning's gospel, we hear our Lord say, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. No one can take them out of my hand." Here the shepherd is offering complete security. So the question might be this morning, where is the good shepherd in all of the bad news? And has he let out a few sheep out of his hand? Before we begin to answer some of those questions, we would do well to take a moment to think of why did our Lord choose to call us sheep? And why did he choose to call himself the Good Shepherd? So we will then make some conclusions after that. So our Lord calls us sheep. Luckily, I have a bit of insight into this topic because on the family farm back home in Indiana, we have corn, we have soybeans, we have 30 beef cattle, but typically we also have a small flock of sheep. So I grew up feeding them and working with them. And I hate to tell you, they are not the smartest animal in the animal kingdom. They're not too quick. They're not particularly strong either. They're not cunning, unless they're trying to find a hole in the fence line to get out, and they seem to find those. They're not exactly attractive unless they're little baby lambs. They get dirty quite quickly. I kind of wish our Lord would have chosen to call us a pack of jaguars or a herd of rhinos or something with a positive spin to it, but our Lord is not trying to insult us by calling us a flock of sheep. He's calling a spade. Due to original sin, we are weak in the face of temptation. We fall into the same traps over and over, the same sins, and often find ourselves wandering away from the flock. We sometimes tune out the shepherd's commands and get ourselves into a lot of trouble. Indeed, we are sheep in need of a shepherd. We know why we are called sheep. Why does our Lord refer to himself as a shepherd? I don't think in Indiana there are not too many shepherds hanging out, and I don't think you see too many here in Northern Virginia. But in first century Palestine, shepherds were a common profession. Shepherds worked hard. They got dirty to get the job done. Their job was to feed the sheep, to guide the sheep, and to protect the sheep. The shepherds were different from cowhands, because if you want to move cows from one area to another, you drive them from behind. But that'll never work with sheep, because they'll just scatter. With sheep, to move them from one area to another, you must lead them. That's the only way to move them. In just the same way our Lord deals with us, he never forces us, he always leads us and beckons us. And since the sheep are the shepherd's livelihood, they keep constant vigil over the flock and will sacrifice their own health for the health of the flock. That's why our Lord says, "The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep." The flock certainly feels secure in the presence of the shepherd. With all the tragedy in the news, the fact that we're asking, "Where is the good shepherd in all of this?" reveals that we may have strayed a bit too far from the good shepherd to recognize his presence and to hear his voice. It's when we cease to be attuned to the voice of the shepherd that things go wrong. The question this morning, then, is, are we attuned to the voice of the good shepherd? Are we listening for the Master's voice at all times? Here's a bit of a test. What was the first reading about? Who were the main characters and what city did it take place in? What was our responsorial psalm? What book of the Bible did the second reading come from? What was the opening prayer about? These can be tough questions. We don't hear the shepherd's voice because we've grown accustomed to it. Our Lord is speaking to us at all times, and we're not just listening for it. And as soon as we become attuned to the voice of the Good Shepherd, those questions aren't tough anymore. Another question, when's the last time we've cracked open the Scriptures on our own initiative, just to see our Lord's words? It's in the Scriptures that the Good Shepherd attempts to speak to our hearts. When's the last time we stopped into the church to pray for 10, 20, 30 minutes, maybe an hour, in front of the Blessed Sacrament? It's in intimate moments like that when our Lord speaks to us, to our hearts. It's when we hear the Good Shepherd's voice. When's the last time in a heated argument at home we took a moment, stopped, and thought, what is our good Lord and the Good Shepherd telling us how to deal with this situation? Unless we remain near the Shepherd and constantly listen for His voice at Mass, and with the family, at work, at play, when we pray, when we listen for His voice, we're okay. But if we don't listen to His voice, we probably lose our way and probably become prey to a wolf. Sometimes when we're following the Shepherd, we don't know where He's leading us. And this unknowing makes us very uneasy and skittish. But we don't need to be uneasy and skittish, even if we don't know where He's leading us. All we need to know is that He's leading us to a good pasture. He's leading us to our happiness. He's leading us to our fulfillment, to that which we were created. As long as we remain near the Shepherd and be attuned to His voice and follow Him, that's all we really need to know. In light of the events this past week in this discussion of the Good Shepherd, we now see the need for the new evangelization, don't we? To gather all the lost sheep back into the fold. No longer can we say, well, He can believe what He wants, and I can believe what I want, and really it's all kind of the same anyway, and we end up in the same place. Well, no, it's not the same thing. When someone follows a different shepherd, they end up in a different pasture, and one that's not good. They follow a different shepherd who tells them to do different things, like blow things up and take innocent life. And we sit idly by in the name of toleration and respect for individual freedom. We know the voice of the Good Shepherd, and it's time we teach others what that voice sounds like. In a very down-to-home sense, parents need to be good shepherds to their children. They need to shepherd their flock at home. If your children don't hear the Good Shepherd's voice through you, they will listen to another voice. And parents need to be vigilant shepherds of their children. Are you aware of the wolves that are after your kids? Do you know what they're looking at on the internet? Do you know what music they're listening to? What's on their phone? The wolves certainly got to those two young men in Boston who took off the bombs. Certainly parents have a great role in shepherding children in the name of Christ. And another important thing to remember and thank God for is that the Good Shepherd has chosen and appointed shepherds to continue to feed, lead, and protect His flock here on earth. Just as He promised in the book of Jeremiah, where we read, I will give you shepherds after My own heart. And God has certainly kept this promise over the centuries, giving us the popes, the bishops, and the priests. And what a beautiful life it is, the life of a priest, to act in the very person of Christ, to bring His life and love to others, especially through the sacraments. It is indeed a great gift to the church that we have priests. These days you often hear that we have a crisis, a priest shortage. We have a vocations crisis. Well, the truth is, we don't have a vocations crisis, because that would imply that God's no longer calling people to that life. We don't have a vocations crisis, we have a hearing crisis. God's still calling, but many of us are not listening. The phone is busy or off the hook. The way to fix the shortage is for each of us, as a church, as a whole, to attune ourselves better to the voice of the Good Shepherd. The more families that structure their lives on listening to the voice of the Good Shepherd, who structure their lives around the Eucharist, It's easier then for young men and women to hear the call of the Good Shepherd. We can also help young people hear the Good Shepherd in many other ways. We can pray for vocations every day, and we should. And we do here at Our Lady of Hope on Sundays. It's one of our petitions. My prayer is that that prayer is never just mere words or empty words, that they do come from our heart. We also can speak to our children about, instead of just asking, what do you want to do with your life, to think in terms of, what does God have planned for you in your life? Oftentimes, we're so convinced that we can make ourselves happy. We know the way. But God made us. He gave us the plan. And it's a matter of listening to the Good Shepherd to find out that plan. And He'll lead us to a happiness beyond our imagining. Another thing we can do is to go up to a young man and just tell them, I think you'd make a great priest. Simple as that. Those words can go a very, very long way. And when we do this, we become the echo of the Good Shepherd who continually turns to young people and says to them, come, follow me. As my time at Our Lady of Hope has drawn to a close, I must say we have excellent priests here. They feed us with the sacraments, especially with the daily offering of the Mass. They spend countless hours in the confessional each week. They guide us and protect us through their great homilies and their teachings throughout the year. They've all been such good mentors to me. Anytime I have a question, Father Saunders is quick to be there with a straight answer. Sometimes a second straight answer. And Father Shear's insights from his first several years of the priesthood have been invaluable. He never seems to be a loss for words. And words. In all honesty and seriousness, I've much appreciated their mentorship, and God bless them for their kindness. I myself almost tremble at the thought that in less than 2 months, I will be made a priest. I'm not worthy to act as in the person of Christ, not now, nor ever. But I know that as long as I stay near the Good Shepherd, remain at his side, he will certainly guide me in how I should guide his flock. I must constantly be attuned to his voice, that same voice which I heard in college when he told me, come follow me. That voice is a constant consolation to me. Another consolation to me is that great Psalm 23, which we're all familiar with. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Those words are a consolation to me. They're a consolation to all of us, because we've seen like this past week has been the valley of the shadow of death. But they will only be a true consolation to all of us as long as we remain near the shepherd and perpetually attuned to his voice. Then we will have peace in our country. Then we will have peace in our homes. It's then that we'll have vocations rise from our own pews and our own families. And God willing, will lead us to the verdant pastures of heaven together. Listening to the voice of the Good Shepherd led me to the joys of the priesthood. Where is that voice leading yours?